It is certainly a pleasure for me to be here with you today. This has been an appointment maybe 2 or 3 months in arrangement. And so I've been looking forward all that time coming and being with you. I'm especially grateful for the generosity of this church in giving me support in my work. I am committed to preaching the gospel as long as I live. I'm 82 now. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. But not every church wants an old preacher. They like young men like Steve. But I'm thankful that with yours and others' help, I'm able to do what I've committed my life to. There's a stack of bulletins on a bookcase or what at the back in the foyer. These are leftovers from Buna. And instead of throwing them away, I thought I'd come over here and edify you folks. So take all of them you want, because there's a whole bunch of them there. And different weeks, different editions. I think there are a few for today, but several different weeks. So take what you like. I'm going to reserve my comments about the church in Buna for this evening. Now, if you're interested in what's going on, where we are, come back and be here this evening, please. We'll tell you a little bit about that. This morning, I'm going to preach a lesson, and also this evening, lessons that the brethren in Buna had to listen to last Sunday. So this is nothing special for you. It's just my standard sermon material. If you have any question about that, you approach C.E. Stanley, who came with me. He can affirm that he had to listen to it last week. Jesus' disciples appear to have desired greatness. Luke, the 22nd chapter, and verse 24. And there arose also a contention among them, which of them was accounted to be greatest. In Mark, the 10th chapter, in verses 35 through 37, he records this. There came near unto him James and John, the sons of Zebedee, saying unto him, Teacher, we would that thou wouldest do for us whatsoever we ask of thee. And he said unto them, What would you that I should do unto you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy glory. It seems that the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, desired to be in positions of power. in the Lord's kingdom. So they wanted to sit on either side and be his special agents. They were interested in greatness, in power. Could that be true of us? Jesus contrasted humility with power. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 25 through 26. Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Not so shall it be among you. But whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister." The teaching of Christ, calling for the humility of his disciples, was in contrast with current philosophy of that day. I want to read a little more from Luke 22, verse 25, beginning this time. He said unto them, "The kings of the Gentiles have lordship over them, and they have authority over them, are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greater among you, let him become as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve." That's quite a contrast. The philosophy of the world. And it's dangerous. Even disciples can espouse the philosophy of the world. But then in the epistles, the inspired men simply tell us to humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. And you might want to keep your finger at this reference, because I'm going to come back to this reference again. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." What I consider a parallel passage to this is in James, the 4th chapter, in verse 10. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you." Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and in the sight of the Lord. Going back to Mark, the 9th chapter and verse 35. "And he sat down and called the 12. And he saith unto them, if any man would be first, he shall be last of all, and servant of all." Brethren, that's what humility is about. Making oneself last. And being servant. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Now, James and Peter tell us to humble ourselves. ourselves. Humble yourselves. That's our doing. That's what we must do. Humble yourselves. Now, happily, goes on to say, and God will exalt you. Sounds like a conflict, doesn't it? But that's the promise. God will exalt you. Jesus explained and illustrated humility in the 18th chapter of Matthew. I want to pay attention to verses 1 through 4. Now, in that hour came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called him a little child and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye turn and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Sometimes, brethren, take a liberty with this. Talk about the innocence of little children. That's not what the Lord's dealing with here. He's talking about our humility. Humble yourselves as this little child. That's his lesson in this particular passage. Then, personal acts on his part that you're quite familiar with, recorded in John, the 13th chapter, when at the Last Supper and institution of the Lord's Supper, Jesus set aside some of his robes and washed the disciples' feet. I want to notice verses 14 and 15. "If I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye also should do as I have done to you." Commonly, in that day and time, when somebody came into a home for a meal, to be there for a while, hospitality was exercised by having a servant wash the guest's feet. But here, at this supper, Jesus, the teacher, and Jesus, the Lord, set an example for his disciples to do as I have done. One other passage that refers to the humility of Christ, Philippians, the 2nd chapter, in verse 8, talking about Christ now in the flesh during his earthly ministry, that he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. He humbled himself, becoming obedient. There'll be very little obedience to God unless we humble ourselves. He humbled himself, willing to die on the cross of Calvary, bearing the shame that went with such a death. Obedience, even in death. Now let's go back to that fifth chapter of 1 Peter and look at it. First, I want to single out what's said in verse 5 about the second and third part of this verse, where he says, "Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another." Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve. To serve one another. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. To me, this is a text that's really presentation of the course of humility to power or authority. The passage beginning in verse 1 is addressed, of course, first to elders. "The elders, therefore, among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Elders, therefore, among you, overseers, the elders of the local church, those who are in authority. And then in verse 2, "Tend the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight." Now, oversight, and yet to be a servant. Be humble, though you're exercising oversight. Just want to throw this in. Sometimes we talk about the relative position of men and women, and so, parents and children, which is in order. But I think this is a good place to learn how one exercises oversight in humility, in service, and example. So tend or feed those over which you have the oversight. Feed them. Serve them, you see. Tend them. And a willingness to do this, not of greed, but of a ready mind. A ready mind. Doing so willingly. Not lording it over. this is what we saw in Mark 9 and 35. The contrast with the rulers of the world and his disciples. Not lording it over. But making yourselves in samples to the flock. That's an interesting picture. Flock. He goes on down a little further in the context when he talks about in verse 4, the chief shepherd shall be manifested. A flock with a shepherd. A shepherd doesn't drive sheep. A shepherd leads sheep. Like Psalm 23 talking about the Lord is my shepherd. Leadeth me beside the still waters. Leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Leading. Making oneself in sample to the flock. We're told about the mistake of trying to exercise authority over others. The part of Diotrephes in 3 John, verses 9 and 10. I wrote somewhat unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Therefore, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works which he doeth, prating against us with wicked words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. And them that would, he forbiddeth and casteth them out of the church. And so he's going to call Diotrephes on the card when he gets there. Love to have the preeminence. Casting them out. Terrible mistake on Diotrephes' part. Then another illustration is the 20th chapter of Acts. And in verse 30, when he's talking to elders and the threat or the danger, what might happen. When he says, from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. First of all, speaking perverse things. That's how they're going to go about this. Speaking perverse things instead of sound doctrine. And their interest and aim is to draw away disciples. From whom? From what? By the Lord, of course. And draw them away from the Lord so that they can draw them to themselves. So that they can exercise dominion over them. Power over them. The example of humility in the Lord's disciples results in power, actually, over others in the form of influence. Examples. So, one passage you're very familiar with. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And of course, we make the application. Christians ought to be such examples that people will want to imitate us and come to the Lord. Glorify the God whom we serve. But then, what we've been looking at in 1 Peter 5 and in verse 3 is talking about the example to the flock, making yourselves ensamples to the flock. On the one hand is your example of humility and service before those who are lost, Matthew 5. And your example before Christians, 1 Peter 5. So, by humility and service, you influence people to good ends, the salvation of the soul and the glorification of Almighty God. And so the pathway to greatness, the Lord told his disciples and Peter here points out that it's the matter of service and humility. In verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. For God giveth grace to the humble. I mean, he's not talking about the gospel, the good news of the gospel. But he's talking about the character of the individual. God giveth grace to the humble. Gracious person. God gives grace to the humble. God does it because we're following his word, his instruction, of course. But then, in due season, the humble will be exalted. In due season. Exalted. Well, that's the goal, and that's what God will do. So, the test for acceptance on the part of the Lord to eternal life is humble service. One passage is especially forceful in this matter. Matthew 25, and I'm going to start at verse 34, and I'm going to read through verse 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or athirst and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these my brethren, even the least, ye did it unto me. Depiction of a judgment scene. Inasmuch as ye did it. And then when he turns to those on the left hand, said, inasmuch as ye did it not. Service because of humility is what's called for on our part. Do we really want to be of service to others? I realize that we're busy. Have a lot to do, a lot going on. But do we really want to be of service? Or do we want to exercise power over them? There's one last point that I want to leave with you, and that is, do we refuse the exaltation of God and the greatness that comes from service? Humility and power. That's what we have to deal with. Let's stand and sing in all sincerity the song that has been announced.